You can be put a marker in Joshua 10 tonight. I really did not want to preach this message tonight. And I'll tell you why. It's just so good. It really is. You'll see why. You'll see why in a minute. I'm thinking, Lord, you ought to preach this to the, you know, he says, these are the ones that will use it. See, you guys got a compliment from the Lord. Yeah. See, you guys really are, I consider you guys the diehards of the diehards. You know, there's no worship. I mean, thank God for worship. But what I mean is there's nothing here to, pleasant on the soul. Or, you know, it's just the pure word and then calling those things that be not. Things that people just really love to do, you know. So when I shared this one with Bronk and what we're going to look at tonight. By the way, none of this needs to be on the message. But when I shared this with Bronk, he got so excited. He said, have you taught this yet? I said, hey, no, I haven't. He says, I'm going to preach before you do. He says, I'll never give you any credit at all. Oh, we have fun with that. We have fun with that. Of course, we're all plagiarizing Paul anyway, and he plagiarized Jesus, so it's good. Okay. All right. So put a marker in Joshua chapter 10, but I want you to have it in your mind what Alan was teaching on this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You're going to see such a picture of this, such a shadow from the Old Testament. It's so good. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm just going to look at two verses mainly. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds, let's not go by that word too quick. That's any infirmity, wrong thinking. How did Dave put that? He said it's a thought pattern that's empowered by emotions. It's not just I believe it, and you better not touch it. This is who I am, you know. And it's strong. It's really strong. This is what I believe, okay? So, but they're not called weak holds. They're strong. They're strong. They're hard to bring down, especially when you're 70. What I mean, especially when you may have had it a long, long time, see? But the weapons of our warfare are really not carnal. They are mighty. Boy, you're going to see this. They're mighty through God to pull down these strongholds. The process is this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Boy, isn't that good? Let's see a shadow. Go back to Exodus 10. No, I'm sorry, Joshua 10. Thank you. Go back to Joshua chapter 10. Now, the name Joshua is the Hebrew same as Jesus. The type and shadow here, what is the promised land? That's a type of the abundant life that we have all been freely given. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The promised land that they were to possess is a type and shadow of that. I have given you the land. Well, God has given you the abundant life. The only reason that you're not possessing it all, they're squatters on the land. These are the strongholds. These are worldly thinking, fleshly thinking, maybe even demonic thinking. It's strongholds that are preventing you from enjoying all the blessings of the promised land. It really belongs to you. But there's squatters there. These in the book of Joshua is a visual picture of stronghold by stronghold possessing the land. It's the visual picture of what we just read over there in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down strongholds. Now, in particular, we're going to look at one of the battles here tonight. And we'll just pick it up here, and I'll just start reading. And forgive me ahead of time for my Pottawatomie County pronouncing of these names, okay? That's not what's important. Let that gnat go. If you're here this morning by Alan, you know what I'm talking about. Let it go. It's not important. Now, it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai. Y'all remember Ai? And had utterly destroyed it. See, that's what we're supposed to do with every stronghold. Utterly destroy it. Okay? As he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. Now, let me just stop for a moment. We don't have time to teach at length on this tonight. But if you want to know what's going on here, what this is a type and shadow of, they weren't really supposed to make peace with Gibeon. Gibeon tricked them. Okay? Gibeon said, oh, we're from way off. We don't even live in this land. You know, they brought moldy bread and wore out shoes. And they're like, sandals, I guess. We've been going, oh, no, you don't need to conquer us, you know. You need to make peace with us because we're from way over there. We're not even part of the land. And they're lying like dogs. So Joshua made agreement with them and made a covenant with them. And how many knows the Bible says that the Lord loves a man who swears to his own hurt and changes not. So even when he found out the truth, he couldn't change the covenant that he had made with them. And this covenant means they're going to defend them. They're going to help them. Okay. Now, I don't have time to teach on all this. Let me just tell you this. Gibeon is a type of your soul. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution? Have you ever agreed with your spirit? Okay, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to make peace with God. I'm not going to do that, whatever that is, anymore. Okay? And all of a sudden, there's a war. Now, your spirit will come to help you. That's the type and shadow. It's exactly 2 Corinthians chapter 10, pulling down strongholds. Now, Joshua and his men is a type of the new nature. And the sword that they bring is a type of the word. You got all these types? All right. So when the war begins and the soul begins crying out for help, here comes the new nature. Isn't this what the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death? And when the soul begins crying out for help, you got to make a decision, because that new nature on the inside of you, you got to go to war. You can't just sit there and do nothing. You got to get that sword, draw it out of its sheath, in plain English, put the word of God in your mouth, pray in tongues, do everything you know to do. Get your spirit, your Joshua, engaged in the war. Well, anyway, boy, that was a lot in just a few minutes. All right, now watch this. So, verse 2, they feared greatly because Gibeon, now that's a type of your soul that's made an agreement with the spirit man. Gibeon was a great city. Your soul is strong. It's a great city, as one of the royal cities. And it was even greater than Ai. And all the men there were mighty. Your soul has a lot of power. Wherefore, Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horam, king of Hebron, and unto Piron, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, now you got five kings ganging up. Come up unto me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Now, types and shadows. Let me throw you out some nuggets you can meditate and pray on your own. Nothing is in the Word of God by chance. Everything means something. Five kings. Five. The soul has made a decision. Let's, for today, it's near the first of the year. The soul has made a decision. I agree. I'm going to make peace with God. I agree with God. I am New Year's resolution. Whatever it is, I'm not going to be a glutton anymore. I'm not going to be a drunkard anymore. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to whatever anymore, you know. And yeah, that's it. I make covenant. And there's five kings. Let's see. How many physical senses do you have? How many physicals? The sight, the hearing, the smelling, the touching, the tasting. Number five. Okay, there's five senses. I remember when I made the decision, Alan mentioned it this morning, when I finally went to war against smoking. I think there was 500 kings. All of my senses, all of them. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't hardly eat. I literally would sweat. I mean, there's a war going on to stop you. What do you mean agreeing with the Spirit? What do you mean agreeing with God? We're going to five kings. We're going to stop you. We're going to stop you from agreeing with this God. Well, here come the five senses. And it doesn't have to be, I'm just talking now in terms of addiction. It could be anything. Anything where your soul is doing what it can to agree with the Word of God. Your everything in the natural, the five senses, everything that you see, touch, smell, hear, everything is going to come against you to move you away from that decision. And the soul begins to cry out. It's going, help me. There's a great prayer. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Won't you help me? So they're crying out together. So look at verse 6 here. There we'll see them crying out. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua. Your soul cries out unto the spirit man, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Oh, by the way, I left out this part. Joshua kept the spirit man kept his agreement with the soul. But there's one condition. The soul had to become the servant of Israel. Never the other way around. They were hewers of wood and carriers of water. Yeah. Okay. This is a lot for one little session here. The soul does not rule anymore. But the soul can cry out for help. And the spirit will come. Okay. Somebody asked me just as I was coming into church, said, how you doing on them New Year's resolutions? I said, we're doing okay so far. Angie and I, we hardly missed maybe 2 or 3 days, maybe 4, all last year. I don't even know if we missed that many at the gym. I had to be, was out of town or something, So praise the Lord. And we're at it again this year. The message I started to teach, and so you can just start doing this now, the one I thought I was going to teach tonight, we're at the beginning of the year. See, you guys are the elite troops. I can't think of the name of them right now, but the elite ones. Anyway, have you made your fasting schedule? Have you made any kind of a prayer schedule? You're too far along to leave those things to chance. Don't let these things slip. Things that we've known in the past, he's going over that with me. He gets on me, I get on you. That's the deal. Okay. He's asking me that. He says, because he told years ago, and I did for a long time, but I haven't done it in a while. But now he's after me again. He's going, I want a certain amount of prayer every week. Now, how are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Don't leave it to chance. Or you know what will happen? The time bandit will come and get your time. You know what will happen. Anyway, that's not the message, but previews. I would start working on that if I was you. So anyway, verse 6 again. We have to speed this up a little. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Your soul is crying out. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. You ever felt like that? Sound like the guy in Romans 7, I'm never going to do that evil thing again. And that good thing I was going to do this time, I'm really going to do it. But see, he didn't have the same help. He did not have the new nature on the inside. He was just trying to do it by the power of the soul, and the soul can't do it. Now watch this. Here comes the new nature. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal. He and all the people of war with him. And all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now the type and shadow there is no stronghold you cannot overcome. There is no stronghold, no failure pattern. I don't care if you've had that pattern for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 70 years. There's nothing going to stand before you. Nothing is stronger than that new nature. Nothing is stronger than the Word of God. Amen? All right, now watch. So Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Now I heard Bronk teaching on this, and he'd done a little research at a military academy. Do you know in the military academy, part of what they teach is the book of Joshua? They learn some of their strategies. Even, now, they're not going to like this, even Hitler learned some of his strategies from this. See, they didn't do like most of them did. We're going to march during the daylight and everybody will know we're coming. No, no. He heard about this. They went at night. And they went quickly. And they went quietly. It's called blitzkrieg. And they came suddenly upon their enemies. See, you don't need to put things off for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Amen? Get after it. Every time I read that now, I think about Dave, when the Lord gave him that instruction. He's coming back from, I think, Oklahoma City, and they'd been to a passion play. And he said, it was technically perfect. Angels flew on wires, and they had donkeys and camels, but there was just one problem, no anointing. He said, Lord, how do you get an anointing into something like that? And the Lord's instruction was, if you'd go home and worship me all night tonight, you'd find out. See, and Dave made me feel better because he didn't do it. Just like I don't do it a lot of times when the Lord tells me something. He didn't do it for a long time, but finally he did. He started locking himself up and really doing it. How many of you know the Lord's the God of the second chance, third chance, fourth chance? And he says, you know, I began to find out what that anointing is comes by his presence. Anyway, that's another. But all night, see, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. See this? Now, what this is a type of so far, this is a type of Romans 8 where it says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. And the first level of help God gave us is that new nature. And how many times does Dave say on the born again trail, it's not the Holy Spirit that set you free. If the Holy Spirit was the one that set man free, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit has one thing to work with, and that's your new nature. It's that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes you free from sin. That's your first level of help. All right? So the Lord discomforted them before Israel. This is a type of the new nature, slaughtering them, boy, with the word of God and with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto that place right there, Macadam. Wanted to grow macadamia nuts. Anyway, that's another thing. And now we're getting to the revelation. We said all that to get to here. Now watch this. And it came to pass, as they fled from Israel, you got the picture, the man there, the enemy is fleeing, all right, but then we're not going to just make them run away. We're going to kill them. Put this to death. It's never coming back. Amen? So you got this warfare going on, and five kings, I mean, there has to be a slew of them, and here's the new nature chasing them, and all the men chasing them, you know, with the sword. But now watch this. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. Now get this. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You know, it's one thing, you're already getting your hiney whipped. You're already getting whooped like the Dickens. You know, here's these Israelites and they're slaughtering your army. And now you're really running, we're just trying to stay alive now. We're just trying to live now. And if that's not bad enough, because they're not staying, they're coming after you. Out of heaven, God himself starts raining down these hailstones. Now in Revelations, it talks about 100-pound hailstones. Could have been, you know. I think one of them will do if one of them hits you. you're a goner, you know. I don't know if they're how big, but they're big enough. And you're watching now, not only are the Israelites, this new nature wiped, now God Himself has joined the battle against you. I was meditating this one day because I'm trying, you know, God, what is that? What is that? I understand about the new nature and the sword. I understand about all that. But Lord, what is it about these hailstones? And, you know, for years I would come to that and I'd ask that question. And you just keep meditating, you keep praying. But here recently, and this is when I call Bronk, come to that passage again about the hailstones. There were more that died with the hailstones than they which died by the children of Israel. And I heard a verse, and the verse was this: likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, the Holy Spirit also, your first level of help is that new nature, the Word of God. And if you don't ever go to war, the hailstones don't ever come. If you're willing to live with that sin, you're probably going to live with it. Well, God will deliver me when He's ready. He's been ready for 2,000 years. You've already been delivered. The land has already been given to you. He's waiting on you to take the sword and allow that new nature to go forward. But if you will, see the picture, if you're willing, find me. Yes, sir. Y'all remember that vision I had? This was way back in the early days. And in this vision, I came up to Jericho. Now in the vision, it's just me. In the vision, I'm just marching around praying in tongues. I don't know why. I'm just marching around. I can't. Jericho in my vision was a big, like you see in the movies, you know, big tall thing in the wilderness there in the desert. And you can't see what's in there. It's these big high walls and it's all shut up. Remember, it was straightly shut up. And that's the way it looked to me. And I'm just me. And I'm walking around praying in tongues, walking around praying in tongues. But in my vision, all of a sudden, the walls fell down flat. They just weren't there anymore. And suddenly I can see into the city of Jericho. I can see inside there. And when I looked in there, it looked like, you know, movies you may have seen from that time period. People were just going about their daily lives. I remember this one guy, he had fish on a butcher block table and he was chop. You know, he was chopping up this fish and this lady was walking, had her baby, you know, like just carrying her baby, and people were just going around. And at first they were oblivious to me. But suddenly that lady carrying her baby, she looked into my eyes. I looked into hers. She shouted like it was the most terrifying shout, like an alarm is like, "He can see us." Boy, it was like a call to arms. Everybody quit what they's doing. That guy with the book, you know, chopping up the fish with, he's like, where is he? Because they knew they were about to die. I was suddenly that, see, praying in tongues. Suddenly the stronghold, you'll know what it is. Remember how Dave would teach us? You pray in tongues for 6 months and now you got a bigger problem. It's like God took the flashlight into the dirty attic of your soul. And He's showing you stuff now that's been there for 20 years, but you just learned to live with it. That's just who I am. But now you start to be exposed, you know, and you say, look at all the dirt this light brought. I'm going to quit praying because it's that light that brought this dirt. No, honey. That dirt was already there. And the light has exposed the dirt. And you got to deal with the dirt. See? Now, and back to my vision. Suddenly, the light shone. I mean, I could see. I knew what the stronghold was. Now, what am I supposed to do at that point? What did they do there? I was supposed to kill everything that draws breath in there. I mean, put it to death where there's no chance of it ever coming back. That land belongs to me, see? That land has been given to me, and there's squatters on it. And they fully expected, everybody in my little vision, they expected me to come in, go to war, and they expected to lose, too. They were scared. But in my vision, did I do that? Oh, no. I'm looking at that, and I just thought it was very interesting. And I thought, wow, look at all this, you know? Now I'm looking, it was off to my left. I don't know why. It was off to my left. There was a hill way over there, and it was Ai. And I went, huh, wonder what's in that one. And I just started walking off. Never went to war. And how many of you know, when I looked back, the stronghold, the wall was back up. The wall was back up, see. You don't ever go to war. You don't ever go to war against. You don't ever make a decision. I'm going to possess this land. God gave me this land. You can live with that stronghold even after you know what it is. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, your whole Christian life. And He'll love you and you can still go to heaven. We're not. This isn't a go to heaven message. This is a possess the land message. Living the abundant life message. But now the lesson there from Joshua that we just read. Your soul, when you start, if you'll cry out to that new nature, come and help me. How would you do that? According to Dave Roberson 101. How did you pray in tongues? Take the word of God and put it in your mouth. Go and do some, add some fasting. Do what you know to do. In the power of the new nature to go to war against those five physical senses that are trying to defeat your soul. But God's promise is, if you will do that, God the Holy Ghost will also help you against those infirmities. He brings supernatural help. Who but God can rain down giant hailstones? He will add His supernatural help. I remember when I was winning this time. I was winning finally against the cigarettes. You know, I was winning and I'm going, I don't really know how I'm winning this. And it was exactly Romans 8. Everything in Romans 8. The Spirit also helps your infirmities. And I won it. And you're going to win yours too. So I was sharing that with Bronk about the hailstones. And I said, I heard a verse, Bronk. And the Spirit also, the Holy Spirit also helps you with your infirmities. Right there he said, have you preached that yet? We have fun with this. I said, I dawned on me, no. I'm preaching before you are. Now is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. Just know you have a supernatural helper. The Holy Spirit, God hasn't forgot to. Now, He's not going to literally rain down, I don't think, hailstones. But when your five physical senses begin ganging up on you, don't tell me they don't. I have total dominion over my five senses, Brother Gary. Well, really? Declare a fast tomorrow. Yeah, we'll find. I finally understand. I've understood now for a while what fasting is really about. It is a war that's not lethal that you can instigate anytime you want to, and we'll just find out who has dominion here. Is it you or is it the five kings? You know, because those kings are never going to agree with you. They're never going to agree with you. See, isn't that something? Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. So we're really early. So I'm going to go ahead and do both messages. Now, since you guys are the diehards of the diehards, how long has it been since you had any kind of, now don't raise your hand, but any kind of a prayer schedule? Something where you know, see, I don't want to give out numbers. I know how many hours the Lord is after me right now. And I think really you do too. I think there's it may not be, we're not talking legalistic. But see, I know He wants me praying more than 30 minutes a day. Okay? I think the starting point for most is 1 hour. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? But see, with me, I'm full time. He wants me praying more than that. Well, I'm telling you, in the early days when we had no ministry, thank God I have an Angie now to help me with my time. I'm much more accountable to my prayer now than I was before she came on board. Okay? But in the early days, I didn't have anything to do but pray because we didn't have any ministry anyhow. Okay? All right? Trust me, it is not that way now. And I have to fight for my prayer time like you have to fight for your prayer time. And I can tell you right now, and you already know it anyway, if you leave it to chance, about the only prayer you're going to get in is doing the laundry, driving the car, doing the vacuum, you know, come on. That's about the prayer time you get in. Maybe driving to church. Okay. Pray like a son of a gun driving to church, you know. But where we're going, I don't think. Well, let me just put it this way. I know in me, he is bringing back to my mind. All right. Where we're going now, I need that discipline again. I need you. And I know myself how many hours he's after me, minimum, to do. And I think you probably have a pretty good idea, too, when you're going to do it. And if you don't set aside time to do it. See, I remember used to, of course, if you had a dentist, if you had a tooth that is just horrible, I mean, it's the pain. There's toothaches and then there are toothaches. And I mean, you can't think about anything else. It's throbbing. It's hurting all the time. You call the dentist and you want to be there in 5 minutes. And he says, we can see you next Tuesday. That is the longest week in your life, you know. Now, I don't care if an asteroid is about to hit the earth. I don't care. I don't care if the zoo lost 100 lions and they're all coming down your street. What I'm saying is I don't care how bad it is. You are not going to miss that appointment with the dentist because you know he's going to help you. And we have got to have that same attitude with this time with God the Holy Ghost. And I mean, the phone goes on silent. The phone goes on, what do you call it now? Do not disturb. Airplane mode, whatever you've got. Because there isn't any text you're going to get right now that's more important than that. You wouldn't let no text bring you out of that dentist chair. You're not even going to check that text. I don't care who that is. Well, where we're going, we're really going into. Now, I'm just flat going to tell you, you think it's been war up till now? Hell's best is coming. You just might as well know that. Hell's best is coming. Remember when Dave talked about that door? That the entrance to the love of God, and looked like a big safe to him, you know, and a big thing. And he said, of all the doors in the universe, that door right there is the most heavily guarded against. Because hell knows, at all costs, none must enter there. Well, that's where we're going. Because that's where revival is. And hell's best is encamped against there. How many of you know the Spirit also helpeth us? That's why we've got to get the handles, got to let the Holy Ghost, whatever handles are remaining. I'm sure you're probably free of handles. I'm just talking about myself. There might be a handle or two left that I need to get rid of. See, right before the cross, Jesus said, I'm not going to talk with you much more. The enemy's coming. But he has nothing in me. Jesus had no handles. There was nothing that the enemy could get hold of to turn him away from God's plan. And that's where we have to be. The other half of this coin, the first half is don't leave your prayer life to chance. Don't leave your fasting life to chance either. Now, for me, I'm not telling you that he's telling you this, but I'm just sharing with you. For me, I have printed out a blank calendar thingy, and he's leaving it up to me at this point. But I do know how many, I have a rough eye. It's not like legalistic, thou shalt fast 2 days a week or what, you know, 40 days. It's not like that, but what he's saying to me is, I want a fasting schedule from you. I want it decided 2 months ahead of time. Now that's for me. 2 months worth at a time. What days you're going to be fasting. Listen how quiet it is. I won't be fasting Tuesday. That's my birthday. I won't be fasting on the 15th. That's my mother's birthday. See, I'm assuming that you're already in the Word of God. I'm just being real nice and assuming that you're already in the Word of God. I don't see how you could be here week after week on a Sunday night unless the Word has become part of you. And I believe it has, or you probably wouldn't be here. See? But now, can y'all tell I've got a little Word in me? Can you tell? Now, see, for me, that's an easy part, but He's telling me to step it up. So now I've got the Word on my iPhone again in audio form. And I'm listening to it now, praying in tongues, driving in the car. I'm listening to the Word. I tell you, we're going to win this thing. No five physical. The only thing really standing between us and revival are the strongholds that still exist in us. I got one amen. Thank you for that amen over there. I want to give you another chance. The only thing standing between us and revival are the strongholds that are still in us. Well, we're going to war. And the Holy Spirit is also going to war. Our flesh is not going to know what hit it. When the hailstones of God... I thought about titling this, how, you know, like a teaser. How would you like to get God to throw stones at your strongholds? Well, isn't that what exactly that is? God Himself will throw stones at your strongholds. But not if you don't ever go to war. Not if you don't ever go all night. Suddenly come upon your enemy. Fight. But if you do your part, the Holy Spirit will do His part. In your flesh, no strongholds. They won't know what hit it. Amen?